Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
More fallout against Harvey Weinstein today as Hollywood heavyweights come out against the six-time Oscar-winning producer. They are, of course, reacting to last week's searing New York Times story that Weinstein allegedly sexually harassed women for years and, for years, kept it all quiet through at least 8 legal settlements. Meryl Streep today called his behavior, quote, disgraceful. Filmmaker Kevin Smith tweeted that Weinstein financed the first 14 years of my career, and now I know while I was profiting, others were in terrible pain. It makes me feel ashamed. Glenn Close said in a statement, yes, for many years I have been aware of the vague rumors that Harvey Weinstein had a pattern of behaving inappropriately around women. But now that the rumors are being substantiated, I feel angry and darkly sad. Close also added that she decried the conspiracy of silence around Weinstein's actions. And we should note that last night, Weinstein was fired by the board of the Weinstein Company, the company he helped co-found. Well, joining us now with her reaction is Nancy Gertner. She's a former federal judge, retired federal judge, a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, it's good to see you.
Good to be here.
Okay. What do you think?
Where do I begin? On the one hand, you can say, as many are saying, that this sort of suggests that things are changing, that someone as powerful as he can be felt by these accusations along the lines of Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes. There's another side to that that is these accusations have been going on for the longest time. I was a young lawyer at the time of the Anita Hill accusations against Clarence Thomas that was supposed to effect change, suggest that sexual harassment was something that women could now say out loud and take action against. So, I mean, I'm sort of saddened that this is considered to be a major development. For me, it looks like same old, same old.
I mean, I have to agree. During the presidential election, there was a lot of talk about sexual harassment vis-a-vis the Access Hollywood tape and now President Donald Trump. And here we have Harvey Weinstein. I mean, we'll talk about how Democrats have reacted in a second here. But the only conclusion I come to is that, A, terrible behavior knows no party, and B, really, how is it that so little has changed for so long? I mean,
well, there's a lot in that question. I mean, one is the Access Hollywood issue is very interesting. That reflects a man who is doing and saying what he's doing, not because he is sexually needy, but because he can. In other words, it's the notion of you have the ability, you have access because you are a powerful man. And one gets the sense that Weinstein is the same kind of person.
Identical. I mean, right. From the New York Times reporting, he was specifically targeting young women who were, you know, just entering the entertainment
industry. He could.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it's interesting. That sort of was a way of distinguishing Meryl Streep, who said it didn't happen to me and I didn't know about it, and Glenn Close, who said I heard about it vaguely. So you do it when you can, it seems to me. The other thing is that the structure of enforcement, which we've seen here, which is women sue, and then there are confidential settlements. And the premise of that was that you get money, and in exchange, what you're bargaining for is silence. You thought that it would be effect deterrence because companies wouldn't, you know, over time would say, I don't want to, this man is a liability because I have to keep on paying out because of his sexual harassment. But when you get to someone as powerful as Weinstein, the money is easy.
Right. So talk more about that because, you know, as Glenn Close wrote in her statement that she feels sickened by the conspiracy of silence that surrounded Weinstein. But I have never heard, perhaps by definition, but I've never heard of a settlement in a case like this that didn't include some kind of non-disclosure.
That is essentially when a woman sues for sex discrimination or someone sues for race discrimination, you have the possibility of a huge monetary settlement, but also the embarrassment that the case brings. And so when somebody says, I'm going to give you money in exchange for your silence about that, that's par for the course. That was the reason for the Catholic Church's sexual assault crisis remaining confidential for the longest time. It really, we rely on litigation to affect social change, but this is the Achilles heel of litigation.
Right, because it further pushes things into the darkness.
Right, and as I said, I mean, part of it is that if I'm going to have to spend money because of this employee, maybe I will then monitor this employee. That would be the rationale. But when you start getting up to the levels that Weinstein is at, money was easy. Paying these women off were easy.
Yeah.
It was easy.
You know, I mean, Weinstein said in a statement that he came of age in the 60s and 70s. Oh, look, you see your eye rolling. But I want to know what you think about this because, I mean, granted, on the one hand, he says mea culpa, but he's also seeming to insinuate that, like, it's okay because that's how... Like Mad Men? I mean, I don't know.
Mad Men was earlier, but I understand.
Like,
but I understand what he was talking about. I actually understand what he was talking about. He was saying that it was true that in the 60s and 70s, the rules changed. But the fact that the rules changed didn't mean that there were no rules. They were just different rules. It was not that you, it was no longer that, you know, you were going to be monogamous or that you were going to be, that you were going to only have relations with the people that you were marrying. Things were certainly freed up, but there were still meaningful standards about what you do and you don't exploit and you don't push and you don't pressure and you don't, take away a woman's autonomy. In other words, the rules changed, but there were still rules of behavior which we all understood.
Yeah.
And he apparently didn't.
Well, and also, he wasn't doing these things just in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
Like, he was doing these things when the rules had substantially changed,
right,
and what he was doing was illegal.
Right. The other side of the coin, which no one has really focused on, is how did it happen that this could be a sudden explosion like this? In other words, the company had to have known about these settlements over time, had to have watched what happened to Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, and the notion that this could suddenly happen and they suddenly deal with it also says something about the conspiracy of silence. They would just as soon bury their head in the sand. I mean, I can't believe that the Board of Trustees didn't know about it. They were going to have to approve these settlements, and now they're all sorts of indignant. There's an institutional problem here that no one is coming to grips with.
I mean, the institutional problem being that perhaps his behavior is more of the norm than the exception.
Right. But again, it's not just what he did. It's also the notion that the company didn't know about it. One of the last cases I had before I went on the bench involved a young woman, Harvard law student, who went to work for an entertainment firm in L.A. The lawyer who she was working for used to ask her to deliver papers to his home. He'd open the door and he'd be in his underwear. And he wanted her to be a consort, essentially, to the big stars that he was bringing in. We mediated the case. We began to call other women who had interacted with him over a 10 or 15 year period. Literally, one woman picked up the phone and said, "Do you want to hear about the drugs or the sex?"
Ugh.
And it had been an open secret, very much like this.
But this seems to happen so frequently, right? Because this kind of behavior is serial behavior.
Right.
And then there's
right.
All, like, I feel like every story has that moment where someone decided to reach out and all of a sudden there's this entire network of women at lower levels who actually perhaps for decades had been talking to each other.
Right. But that's partly the enforcement structure which enables confidential settlements. Basically keeps this going on and on and on, particularly for men who can afford to pay the women off. In the local, the grocery store at the end of the block, it might be enough to dismiss someone. But for the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, it's really not, because the money was easy.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about this, what's encapsulated in the Harvey Weinstein story. But I have to ask you, what did you make when I was kind of blown away when I saw Lisa Bloom's name in the New York Times piece last week, because she's, of course, the daughter of
Gloria Allred.
Of Gloria Allred, feminist legal warrior, quite frankly. Now, Lisa Bloom was working or representing Weinstein until very recently. She's no longer representing him. But, like, what did you make of that?
Well, I mean, that's actually a complicated question. That's a complicated question. There certainly, it reminds me of a good friend of mine, Susan Estrich, who is a well-known feminist, was representing Roger Ailes. Those are not the decisions that I would have made. But the legal profession says that everybody deserves a defense.
Did you ever ask Susan why?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I'm dying to know.
Well, she had had a long-term relationship with him, not a sexual relationship. She had a long-term professional relationship and was loyal to him. There is something, let me say that again. There's something to the notion that lawyers, everyone deserves a defense. It works particularly on the criminal side because the idea is that an individual facing the government's power in particular needs a defense. On the civil side, when I was a young lawyer, I actually didn't abide by that rule because I thought that in a civil case, I can and should pick and choose whom I decided to spend my resources on. She made a different choice.
Yeah. So one more thing I want to get your considered reaction on, because, you know, the other thing about the Weinstein case, oh gosh, I'm going to try and get this in here in a minute. Is he, you know, folks from the right are gleeful about the fact that Harvey Weinstein was a big Democratic donor, talked a progressive talk a lot, you know, knew the Clintons, the Obamas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As of today, we can't find anything from Hillary Clinton that's speaking out against what Harvey Weinstein did. Isn't that a problem?
It is a problem. It surely is a problem.
I mean, this seems like a no-brainer to me.
Right. It surely is a problem. It does seem to me that this is something that really crosses over political lines. And if you're aghast at the behavior, you should be aghast at the behavior no matter what side you're on.
Well, we're aghast. Nancy Gertner, former federal judge and WBUR's legal analyst, thank you so much as always.
You're very welcome.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.